What is going on, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Dusty Diamonds Podcast. I am your host, TJ Plugger, with a co-host, Mr. Brian here. What's up, Brian?
What's up, TJ? How's it going?
Good. How are you? We also have Tucker coming on as well. You know, he's doing the fucking woman duties, putting the groceries away. No, not being sexist. But we have a special episode here with Pete Lennis, a.k.a. Swaggy P. I'm pretty pumped up for this one, Brian.
Yeah, it's a pretty big name, huh?
Lanny's pretty jacked up right now to, you know, have him on. You know, he's very popular with the young crowd, you know, middle-aged crowd, I'm sure. You know, Sebby knows who he is now.
Yep, Seb's sitting right here. He's just reviewing some of the clips and said, oh, yeah, I've seen him everywhere.
Yeah, he's gross. He's disgusting. Like, his hands are ridiculous, man. And I had the pleasure of watching him last year in Hershey for the Threes Ice circuit going around. And that's where, you know, Lanny was all jacked up. He's like, yeah, it's Swaggy P. I'm like, who? No, I'm not being rude. I'm just being, it's an honest, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him now. I have to do it over the phone. I can't send him the link, so it's going to take a little bit. So, phone's ringing here. Hopefully, he connects soon.
Hello.
Hey, Pete. What's up, man? How you doing? It's TJ with Dusty Dimes.
Good. Yourself?
Doing well. Doing well.
Just find my earphones here. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. First and foremost, man, thanks for taking the time out of your night to speak with us.
No problem.
No problem. I know you're on a time crunch here. You're a busy guy. First, can we just talk about your journey from youth hockey all the way to pro and what steps along the way you had to take?
Yeah, for sure. So now we're going here. So this is like, you're just going to start asking questions?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that sounds great. So I grew up in Vermont and, started playing organized hockey when I was seven or eight, and then just, you know, was between just town hockey till I was what do I want to say, probably Bantam. Mm-hmm. And then at that time I did like a split season team, and then I started practicing with the Glades, which is a Eastern Junior Hockey League at that time.
Okay.
So I was 13 or 14 when I started practicing with that team, and they're 18 to 21 years old. And then I did that, played 2 years of high school, and then 2 years of local high school, played 2 years of prep school at Tabor Academy, 1 year in the USHL for Sioux City, mm-hmm. Musketeers, and then I had 4 years at the University of Vermont and played a year in the Coast, made the All-Star game in the Coast that year, then jumped to Europe, came back, played for Trenton, Wheeling, and Hamilton that year. Between the East Coast and the American League. And then I played in Wheeling for another year, and then I spent 6 years in Europe.
Now, you know, I wanted to bring that up with Wheeling. You know, it's
– Yep.
Can you tell the audience what it was like playing in front of the rowdy fans there? Because I've been there, and I've noticed it.
You know what? So I played in Ontario, California my first year in the East Coast.
Yeah.
That's absolutely spectacular, you know, and that was like the first time, like it was a little like pro hockey, and it's definitely an adjustment from, you know, university and how it goes, and got off to a really hot start. And then, you know, towards the end of the year, I was kind of battling a little bit with some slumps and stuff. And,
yeah.
And, you know, as beautiful as California can be, when you're not playing the best hockey you can, it doesn't matter where you are. And when I got traded from Trent to Wheeling, it was kind of one of those things where I was like, you know, I played in Wheeling, I think I'm gonna sign in Europe, right?
Yeah.
So I had a couple of options, and I was like, you know what, screw it. And I went on an absolute heater when I first got to Wheeling, and actually got called up to Hamilton, like, you know, 2 months later. So it was somewhere, you know, we lived at Ogle Bay Resorts, which is a nice golf course about 15 minutes outside of Wheeling. So I really, really enjoyed Wheeling. It's they call it the Wheeling feeling, I guess. But you know what? It was something where it was, we had a good group of guys and we were living kind of in these cabins and it was really, really fun. Despite some people may say that the town's a little bit run down, but I enjoyed it. It's that goal horn is phenomenal when it's on your side and when you're playing against it, like I did in Trenton. It's like, all right, just warm the bus up. Let's get out of here when you start to hear that thing go off a couple times. So it was interesting. But no, it was, I really, really enjoyed my time at Wheeling.
Now, talking about the coast, you know, you're a shifty guy. I've, you know, had the pleasure of watching you last summer in Hershey. Being a coach, you know, back then, like it's a different style game now compared to back when you played. Well, like, you know, you're a shift.
Well, my first year in the East Coast, you know, our 10th forward, because you're allowed to dress three lines and an extra forward. I believe that's still the same. But our 10th forward was a guy who got one shift. He went out and fought.
Yeah.
And now you see like your 10th forward is probably a power play guy.
Yeah.
So it's totally different. I mean, huge hits. I know there wasn't a crazy amount of fighting, you know, when I played, but it was definitely, you know, headshots and that was still going on. So, it's a totally different game now, which I'm all for, and the more skill that comes out, I think it's awesome to try to attract new people to the sport. Because if they just want to watch, you know, heavy hits and fighting, I suggest that, you know, MMA or boxing is maybe a better option.
Absolutely. Now you have your own, you know, skills thing with the Elev 802. Can you talk about that?
Elevate 02.
Yep.
So back in, I want to say 2018, Torrey had finished his year before with LA in the NHL, and he went over to Switzerland, and then I was in Austria, and he ended up, and for years, you know, we played college together and stuff. We always said, like, what's after hockey? You know, what do we want to do? And we had crazy ideas of storage units to coffee shops to just about anything. But we wanted to do something, but our main thing we talked about was like a Rob Dyrdek fantasy factory. We're like, how cool would it be if we could go to a place and just have you know, our buddies around hanging out, you know, and we're like, well, geez, like, you know, Torrey made a fair amount of money in the NHL, and you know, I did not have enough money to retire at that point from any type of job from the living I made. So he suffered a really, really bad concussion, and he came to me in Austria, and he's like, "What do you want to do?" And I was like, "Well, I feel like we're kind of experts in hockey. Like, maybe we should start there."
Yeah.
And in the Austrian Alps, we have a photo together. We're sitting on this, like, you know, outdoor patio in the mountains, and we took a picture together, and that's where the idea started that we're going to start a, you know, small training rink.
It's pretty sick. Now, I see, you know, you post videos all over social media. You know, the one you really just did stood out to me was when you had four guys with you, you know, three other guys with you, and you did the two pass on the bumper.
Yeah.
How? Honest with me. How many takes did that take?
What were we doing?
It was four guys. You did the pass on the bumper. It was two pass, and the other guy, you guys kept going around in a circular motion.
Oh, that's light work. That was a lot done. That's not hard at all. That's just like, it might look hard, but no, we're just doing circle, like double pass off that. The one we did before when we had five guys and we just tried to make a cool passing sequence.
Yeah, that was pretty sick too.
That one was that was just figuring out an angle that would look cool and something where, you know, people say like, oh, when they watch the video, they wanted to, oh, is that a loop or is that real time? So some of the creativity is kind of fun because that as well. I mean, all those guys are played pro hockey and the one kid's playing Division One hockey now. So it's actually pretty simple when you have the timing down, but the real creativity comes to like, how can we shoot that to make it look cool?
Yeah.
But it's just about a little bit of timing and all those guys can make a 5-foot pass pretty easily. So it's just how you shoot it that makes it kind of look different.
Yeah. Now, you know, you talk about the creativity, like how, like who comes up with the stuff that you do? Like, is it you?
Absolutely myself.
Jesus.
So I got obviously the three Bulldogs and, you know, normally after dinner, we'll hang out for a little bit and then we tend to go to the garage and just like think of ideas of like, what could we do that's different?
Yeah.
That makes sense because most of the stuff we want to relate it back to a game in some situation. I mean, obviously the 5-man passing with 5 pucks is not game like, but just some of the moves and stuff. It's like, okay, we've seen this, but if you change it a little and the creativity is the most fun part of it. So honestly, it's just, you know, going over things. And then a lot of the time when we go to shoot the video, we'll be like, oh, we could tweak that. Cause when you're in the garage versus when you're on the ice, things happen a little differently. And then a lot of the best stuff we've done has been, you know, changing something that we had an idea from before.
Makes sense. You know, through the year, you know, you probably go through how many sticks?
You know what? It's crazy. So I was a huge into the sling. I still love the sling. I actually never broke one in a full year and a half.
Jesus Christ. My kid's going to the second line in like 6 months.
Yeah, I'll whip them out.
Yeah.
Or I might chip the blade, but any one of those I could still use. Mm-hmm. But the thing is like, and this is a debate I have, well, not a debate, but it's just facts, is a lot of people are still stuck on this flex thing. And, you know, my kid's 5'7", 165 pounds. He needs like a, you know, 85 flex. And I'm like, well, the kid can't even bend it. And they're like, well, if he goes any lighter, he's just going to be snapping them. And it's actually not true because the more whip that you have, yes, you might whip the stick out, but it has a lower breaking point.
Yeah.
So that you're going to bend that stick more before it breaks than if you hit the stiff stick and it breaks at a certain point, because once it reaches its max capacity at the whip, mm-hmm. it's going to snap. Whereas a whippy stick will bend out more and you'll actually won't break as many.
You hear that, kids? You hear it?
We say it all the time. People don't believe me. I mean, I use a 52 flex stick.
Holy shit.
So, I can shoot one-timers all day. So what it is it's a 65 intermediate stick.
Yep.
Stock agent, P28. And then I add a 3-inch extension. And I think it's about every 2 inches is a 10 flex.
Okay.
So that brings it. It could be just, it's between a 2 and 2.5 inch plug. So you're looking at bringing that 65 down to around a 50, 52 flex stick.
Jesus. Wow.
And never broken one yet.
That's insane. We know, like, you know, you're filthy on ice. You know, you got videos of you. You were just in D.C. this past weekend, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Inline skates. Like, would you consider, I don't know if you've been approached, but playing pro inline during the summer?
I did. I played one tournament with the Palma Golden Knights. Shout out to my boy, Sabraj.
Yeah.
But we played the one tournament. Narch won it. And played in a second. What's that?
I said, that's it? No more?
No. I actually played with the Silver Knights, the second tournament. And those Golden Knights guys are awesome. They've been going at it for so long.
They've been playing. They started with, like, back in early 2000s when I played.
For sure.
They're still going. Yeah.
So that was something for me where, like, the whole purpose of shifting towards, like, the roller is, you know, to grow the game movement and,
yep,
and getting outside the box. So I was like, you know, for me, it wasn't about, you know, winning a tournament. It was about getting some clips to show, like, the creativity and stuff. So I had a much better fit with the Silver Knights. And we had a great tournament. We lost in the semifinals. So I had so much fun, and those guys were kind of pulled from all over. And we just had a blast. And so you know what the problem is like the schedule gets so busy. I was supposed to go out to the to the NARCH winter finals, and then, you know, we had a grand opening for our Elevate 02 Springfield. So Some things got in the way, but I honestly love just going out with rollerblades and dangling the dogs and just having fun.
Yeah.
and coming up with different ideas. And I just, it's so important for those kids to go and have fun and get out of the ice box of this, you know, the rink, just as creative as you can be. And I think a lot of that stuff comes where there's no pressure involved. And when the kids are out there alone or, you know, with a buddy and messing around, I think that's where a lot of the progress happens. It's not always, you know, on the ice being coached by someone or being told what to do. I think that's, these kids have so much access to different types of social media and training platforms that, you know, it's obviously an amazing advantage, but sometimes it's good just to tune that stuff out and see what they can come up with on their own.
Now, your creativity on the inline skates, you know, when you're skating down the middle of the road, have you ever got busted?
Like falling and nah, got
like
injured?
You know, like cops or some, you know, you a yeah, Karen, yeah, the a Karen mall, the coming mall, out and bitching at you.
You know what? The it's funny because, like, normally the people shooting the videos are kind of like, dude, like this is not a good idea. And I'm like, what? I was like, well, what are? I don't think we'll get arrested, but I think they might just ask us to leave. And it's different, right? Because skateboarding had that stigma of, yes, like, you know, cops and people getting kicked out. But, you know, we've been asked to leave a mall 3 times, but, like, at different times. But the thing is a lot of people are like, what's going on? And a lot of times they'll come over and be like, we're like, oh, here we go, you know? And they're like, no. They're like, this is, like, yeah. You know, like, obviously you can't be here for too long, but, you know, show me some stuff and then get your video and then you can leave. So I haven't had one person be rude about it or tell me, you know, to get out in a negative way. I mean, we were down in Fort Lauderdale at the All-Star game and we see a cop and I'm like, oh, you know, we're going right down the main drag. Cars are going by us. And, I'm like, you know, I don't know, ticket for being reckless or something. And he gets his camera out and starts shooting photos. And I was like, that's just, it's so different. And people really haven't seen that it's, people are more intrigued than, hey, you know, get out of here. Or, you know, we're not putting any wax on concrete or something. So, you know what I mean? It's like, it's different. We're not really ruining property when we're doing it. So I think people have had a very positive outlook on that type of stuff.
Gee, that's awesome. Now, how does someone, you know, I have my kid here with me, so hopefully he can, you know, listen to this. How does someone develop the hands and skill you gained over the years?
Just what I went back to. Yeah. You know, like when people come to us, we correct bad habits. But, you know, you're not going to come to us and have sick hands for coming for an hour.
Yeah.
You're going to get the proper education to go home and train those. And it's just tennis ball, golf ball, you know, green biscuit, just anything. When you're messing around and, like, figuring out that wrist roll and light lower hand and, like, the top hand doing all the work. Like, once you start to put that together, that's all done on your own. I didn't have a stick handling coach. That was just, you know, driveway and outdoor rink in the winter.
Jeez. That's hear that, Lynn?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's
where it is. Like, I mean, and we tell the kids, like, if it's a chore and you do it because someone's telling you to do it or something, I was like, you know, to be honest, unless you come around and get the love for the game later on, you're just wasting your time. I would never tell someone to do something that they don't want to do. Yeah. You know, we try to give them the proper tools so if they are interested in continuing that they do that. But even if you tell someone to do it and they hate it, I don't think it's ever going to turn out the best it can because just the passion isn't in it.
Fair enough. And my last question here for you is, you know, your experience with Threes Ice, will you be playing again this summer?
I don't know yet. So that is up there. I know the format has changed.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten the draft results back. I'm not sure if I was or not. Whatever it was, it was a great experience. There's some things that hopefully will be fixed in the upcoming years with it. But I'm not sure. I had a great time doing it, but we shall see. The summer months are some of the busiest. Like last year when I played, I don't know if a lot of people didn't know, I didn't go home for 2.5 months. So I would go from Denver to LA to the next tour stop, straight to another camp for a week, to another tour stop, to another camp, and that went on. I counted the flights. It was something crazy, like 21 flights or something like that, maybe more. In that 2.5 months. So I played the first one in Vegas, came home, and then I did not come home until I want to say the second to last weekend.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah. So it was, and not to mention that I was kind of stuck on the road in the middle of it, and I got COVID, and I kind of just had to I had to mask up and keep going. But all the travel and stuff was booked, so I was kind of in a tough position where I couldn't really stay in one place.
I knew this schedule was crazy because I saw, you know, I know John Schiavo very well.
Yep.
I saw he was at an event and he flew out somewhere to play Tours or Narch, played that event, and he flew back like the next day and it flew back out. It was insane.
Yeah, so you would normally fly out on a Friday and then leave on a Sunday.
Okay.
What I was doing is I was taking red eyes into the game on, you know, leave Friday night at midnight, get in at 7 a.m., play the tournament, and then try to get a flight out at 9 or 10 p.m. that night to the next city. So I was mostly at those cities for about, you know, 12 hours, something like that. Sometimes like the one in London, Ontario, I landed, got to the game at 2 p.m., and I was on another flight at 8 p.m.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Bri, do you have anything for him?
Hey, Pete. I don't have anything, but pretty good. But Seb, my son, he's sitting here. He's 16. Yep. He actually has a question for you because he's got something kind of a big event for him coming up, and he just wanted to get your take on this. So I'm going to let him go ahead and take my moment and ask you a question. So
what's going on, Pete?
Hey, how you doing, boss?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
So this upcoming weekend on Saturday, I'm going down to West Virginia University for a prospect skate. And I was just wondering, like, what advice would you give for me, like, going into something like that?
I mean, there's a ton of different stuff. I mean, when I was a young kid, it was a little bit different. But like whenever I was doing a tryout, a prospect, you know what I'm saying? Like you're getting looked at. Like, is it just a tournament or are there drills involved?
I'm pretty sure there's like games, skill work. They try to incorporate everything so that they can see, like, everything you can do.
Yeah, I mean, with the practice aspect of it, you know, I tried to look at the drill when it's on the right board. If I had a question, ask the question, and then be first in line, do the drill right, you know, call for the puck, want the puck, put yourself in a position, and you know, playing loose is something rather than, you know, just going out there and going 1,000 miles an hour, and it's just chaotic. So as stressful as that situation is if you're prepared for it, it shouldn't be like any different type of session that you're doing when you're on the ice.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you want to ask him about the Ovi pick?
Oh yeah, another thing. So
yeah,
I want to know how tall are you? Because that Ovi pick on your Instagram.
Yeah, well,
that angle.
I was with the Caps this weekend, and everyone said it there because they saw the photo.
Yeah,
he's actually way bigger than you think he is. I'm 5'5", which I'm not saying I'm not calling myself big at all. But he's a monster. Like you think he's like, oh yeah, you know, it's this, you know, he's like maybe 6 foot or something like that. He's huge. I couldn't, but when I got up next to him, I was like, oh wow, like he's way, way bigger than I thought he was.
Yeah, I mean that pick looked fake. That's why we were like, we gotta ask
for
him.
Sure, for sure. It was actually funny. I asked who's the guy on the Bruins, Orloff. Is that his name, Orloff?
Dimitri? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't realize it was him standing next to Ovi, and I asked him to take a photo of me and Ovi, and then I was like, after I saw like that, I was like, oh, well, he's a pretty damn good player as well.
Whoops.
Tucker, you got anything for him?
No, I've been just trying to keep my connection stable here long enough to
no, for sure.
Oh, other than that, Swaggy, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Anytime.
Thank you. Best of luck.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. There you go. Pretty pretty cool dude.
Yeah, the first, third, and last question that I heard sounded all pretty good.
I saw you kept popping on and off. I'm like, uh-oh, something's going on over there.
Fucking app will not let me stay in at all.
No, Lanny got stage fright here. I told him to ask a question. He's like, oh, you do it.
That's funny.
But, yeah, I wanted to actually, you know, after that was done, I wanted to bring something up here. I keep seeing things all over the internet about, you know, people talking about tryouts and, you know, shit like that, what you prepare for. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, you know, kids are stepping into the limelight here of trying out for teams. The season's over. I know our, what is it, 16s and 18s don't do it until April, right?
Yeah, I think mid-April, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I see it's like, you know, 12s, 14s, 10s, 8s. I mean, really, like, how do you prepare for that as a young kid? You know what I mean? It's
– Well, especially without having ice time right now.
That's, you know, what I'm saying.
Seb's been looking just for either an open hockey or, you know, an open skate or something between now and next weekend, and there's nothing. I don't know what these kids are, you know. And then the older guys, you got a month and a half in between. So, I mean, you just focus on off-ice stuff, I guess.
I guess. I mean, it's that's what I'm saying. Like, I get it. I know there was a huge tournament, inline tournament this weekend down in Philly. I know a couple guys, you know, older guys. I saw Kepley was playing. Somebody else was playing that we know of. But but I know those guys, you know, that's a good thing to do too, is, you know, inline or whatever. But it really is hard now because, you know, the evaluations for the younger kids are happening right now. You know, and the older kids aren't getting ice time. That's what sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. But I mean, I see it all, you know, people are like, how to prepare. And it just, I don't think you can really prepare as a young kid. Like, what do you're going to lose sleep over it because you have tryouts coming or evaluations. Like, you're either going to make an upper team or a lower team. That's what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, it seems like too, you know, even, you know, Seth being in the older range now, but looking back on it, it's like they, especially if you're at an organization for a while, they know you.
Exactly.
So they know where you're going to go. So I think it kind of sounds, and Swaggy kind of touched on it with that point where it shouldn't be anything different than what you're already used to.
Exactly.
So, you know, don't lose sleep over it, you know, treat it like any other drill and, you know, you should be fine. Like, don't make it a high stress thing for yourself.
I agree. Yeah, it's like you said too. You know, it's if you're there for what, you know what I mean? 2-3 years, like obviously, you know, this season, you know, coming up, you know, I'll use Sebi for an example, you know, he's coming back into an organization that he's known, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's well known there, you know, so it's really, he's just got to go out and play his game. That's it. Nothing changes really. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Nothing should change for the older, even the younger kids, nothing should change. You know what I mean? Just go out and fucking play.
Yeah.
There's too much fucking pressure on these, you know, I see it all the time, man. There's so much pressure on these parents giving their fucking kids a goddamn aneurysm over what fucking team they play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you better make that top team.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
but
shit.
Wait, what?
It's like, you better fucking skate or you're not going to fucking eat for 5 days, Johnny. Like, what the fuck?
Tucker, did you feel any pressure when you were younger coming up?
No, actually. I was actually a quality hockey player.
Oh, I was a fucking stud.
You didn't have to worry about shit, huh?
No, I felt pretty good. I knew where I kind of sat growing up. I sat at the top tier. I had the speed, and I could shoot the puck and move the puck, and kind of just knew that growing up. And didn't ever really think anything of it. Tryouts came around, and all it was more coaches on the ice.
I was going to say, just another day of drills and more coaches.
Yeah, you get a call at 8:30 at night after a week-long of tryouts and evaluations, and it's a call from your head coach, find out what team you made, and that's that.
That's it.
I don't think I ever sweat a single tryout until it came to null main camps and stuff like that out of high school.
Right, right.
And that's kind of where it
got a little more serious.
And it should. I mean, yeah. Starting to try to advance your career, turn it into something, whether it's college or pro or whatever your goal is. But
yeah,
if it doesn't scare you at that point, I don't think you're doing the right thing.
Right.
Can we talk about something real quick, Tuck?
I guess it depends on what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't think Brian knows the full story about you and junior hockey.
I guess what part of it do you want to touch on?
So
it was kind of a reckless young adult playing junior hockey. And
what
really
now
wish I would have taken
I'm
a
getting
lot more seriously, but yeah.
Yeah.
So Bri, I you know, reached out to Tucker, North Dakota. I'm in, you know, this in Pennsylvania. Reach out to this kid. I say, hey man, you know, I would love for you to come, you know, play for my team. I want to sign you junior A. Okay. This kid drives out to Allentown, Pennsylvania, right?
From Dakota?
Yes.
Jesus.
Right? He drives out, skates. Where were you there, Tuck? Maybe a month?
Yep.
So Tucker's there maybe a month. You know, we hit it all very well. He tells me, Coach, I got to go back home. I got personal stuff. I said, that's fine, right?
Yeah, I flew out the first time. Came
oh, yeah, you flew. That's trip. Right. That's right.
Yep,
you flew, and then you drove back, right?
Yep.
So he tells me, I'll be back. And I'm like, this motherfucker's not coming back.
Yeah.
I was like, he's not coming. So I kept asking him, you know, like, yo, you good? You good? You coming back? I'm coming back? Yeah. Would you know he literally drove, what was it, 22 hours or whatever? So, what was it?
26 hours
straight. Yeah.
26 hours straight.
Dude.
He drives back to the fucking Allentown.
Not did I just drive that 26 hours. I made it to practice on time the next morning, got on a bus the following morning, and then we went and played our first showcase in Boston.
Oh,
insane.
Geez. Yeah.
Insane. But I tell you, when he said he's going home, I'm like, he's not coming back.
Yeah. It's a long way home.
And then we recruited. Who was the kid we recruited from North Dakota?
Fucking brought Tanner Melhoff with me.
Tanner Melhoff. Tucker's like, I got this guy. He's fine. He came out, right? What was he there?
He was there for fucking eight hours.
He lasted 8 hours, like an hour and a half of my practice, yakking his brains out, and then went back home.
Oh.
Came home, took a nap on the couch. We wake up in the morning to go get to the bus, and he's like, yeah, I got to go home.
Like, oh no,
dude!
Yeah,
we still got to get gas money and everything like that. And he's heading home already.
Left, and you know what it was? Is he left all of his shit in his stall at the rink?
Well, yeah, I know. And then he was bitching at me. His parents were bitching at me. I was getting messages left and right. When's Tanner's stuff coming home? I said, when I get home.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean,
I'm not going to mail that shit. I can barely afford to put food in my stomach, let alone put your shit in the mail. Yeah.
You're talking $300 shipping fee. Jesus.
I'm like, if you want to drive 22 hours and get it express, that's up to you. But that's not my department.
Yep. Jesus.
They okay. Like, bro, I wish I knew you back then. Like, dude, it was probably the craziest fucking time of my life. Coaching those guys.
What years was that?
Fuck, what was that? Four, we're going 18, on 5 19? Right?
Yeah.
18, 19, right?
Yep.
Okay. So yeah, not that long ago.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. I tell you, like, I got thrown in the mix there. The head coach that was there got fucking let go. He got fired.
That whole situation leading up to the team that we ended up with was kind of a shit show. We got dealt quite the shitty hand from the jump. We were playing with pedophiles. We didn't know we're pedophiles at the time.
No safe sport.
No, God, not in junior hockey.
No.
Not in junior hockey you have to do that shit.
You don't get those protections.
But I'll tell you, man, it was I will say, and I say it all the time, and Tucker will agree with me, I wouldn't – there are some things I would change, but the majority I wouldn't change.
Oh, absolutely. I would have asked for a more dedicated guys in that Lehigh group, but
– we had about 7 to 8 guys that were dedicated. The rest of them, dude, we were fucking picking left and right from, like, fucking everywhere.
And, Brian, we had a game where just those 8 dedicated guys showed up, and that was all we played with.
Oh, man.
Against the junior Flyers.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Oh, Joe, that was pretty fun. Yeah.
42 shots to, like, 6, I think.
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah. Well, can't say I haven't seen that before.
I saw it this season.
Right. Yeah, right. Oh, man. That's unreal.
But other than that, you guys have anything else?
I've got nothing for tonight.
I know. You gotta go. You gotta go. Wife's telling you get off. I get it.
No, we're getting ready for vacation. We're heading down to the Black Hills on Thursday. So,
what are the Black Hills?
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's like North Dakota's prettier cousin. We've got here, and South Dakota's got all the hills and nicer weather.
Oh. Yeah, I when I moved out to Phoenix, I drove from Rochester, New York to Phoenix, and the Badlands and the Black Hills were two of my stopping points for tonight. And man, it's gorgeous out there, though.
Yes.
So such a cool spot.
Absolutely.
Cool. I'll just go fuck myself because I don't know what you're talking about. You two do.
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, man. Mount Rushmore. Yeah. Come on, bro.
All right.
God damn, you didn't pay attention in geography class, did you?
I did not.
Yeah.
Did not.
The kids would love it. You should take them out there someday.
Yeah. Absolutely. Jump right on that.
Yep. Next week.
Doc, I wanted to ask you, though, before we get off.
Yes.
Did you talk to the wife about your business proposal?
I haven't even heard from Jared again, so.
Oh, cool. I guess that's a no.
It's been like 3 weeks, so I'm guessing that's.
Well, that kid, dude, he's flaky, dude. He's flaky.
He's all over the fucking place.
Flaky as shit.
I mean, yes. Mine's all right. Been moving 1,000 miles an hour.
Well, other than that, stay dusty, guys.
Stay dusty.